Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are getting started with the Money and Business Hour that I do every single week to help you get your finances on track. And today, we're going to continue down the path. If you've been listening in the past, you heard about developing the offense and the defense. And actually, we talk about it more like the defense and the offense. And the reasoning behind that is that if you are going to go out and really build your finances up, the first thing you got to do is prepare not to lose. And we talk through that. And if you've been listening in, you know about how to set a budget up and why it's so important to have an emergency fund and the reasoning behind, you know, getting out of debt and good debt, bad debt, all those kind of things. And then we also talked about ways to cut your cost on your insurance to where you have more insurance protection with less cost, getting rid of all the stuff that doesn't really matter. So today we're going to move into what I always want to do, and that is create the life. And what's the life? The life is to where you can one day know you can stop and continue to get paid. That's the goal. And the sooner that you can do that, the better life you have. I know I love to play golf, and so I like playing golf, but I want to be able to play golf knowing that I can always play golf one day. I want to be in a position to where one day I can quit and know without question that I'll end up being fine financially from then on out. And so we're going to go through that. So creating what I call do-nothing money. So do-nothing money is the amount of money you earn if you do nothing. Think about that. That's what we want. We want to have do-nothing money. So the first question I would say is, how much do-nothing money do you have? That's the money that if you do nothing, your investment earnings are going to come through and it's going to give you that. And so when I look at things, I say, well, do I want to rent or do I want to own? Everybody knows they want to own. So do you own? Okay, do you own your life? That's what it's all about. Okay, we want to get to a point where we own our life. Do we want to actively earn money or passively earn money? I want to passively earn money. I want to have money rolling in. They call it mailbox money. I call it do nothing money, all those kind of things. Do you want to be independent? Or you want to be dependent? I'll never forget my dad told me one day, he says, you need to save your money. He said, because when you get old and you're an old man, and if you're an old man that's broke, they consider you an old man in the way. But if you're an old man that has money, then what you have is you're a good old man because you're never a dependent on anybody. And so what we do is in this show, I teach people two big key elements. The first one is this. We got to get our income up. Always work on the income because the income creates the gap. The gap is the difference between your income and your outgo. All right. And once you have that gap, you then have some quality of life in there. I can tell you right now that if you are out there right now and you've got more going out and you got coming in, everything is a disaster. Everything is stressing you out. That's just the way it is. And so create the gap. So what do we have to do? We have to look and we say, well, what are our two problems? Well, it could be an income problem. If you're not making six figures now in this world, it used to be if you made 100 grand a year household income, you were rich. Today, things are expensive. Houses are twice as much. Cars are, you know, everything has gone up in value. So you have to always work on developing your income. How do you do that? Well, first thing is this. Find something you love to do and figure out how to be great at it. And then once you're great at it, you've accomplished two things. Number one, you're going to make money because you're going to demand it because you're great at something. Now, I don't mean great at tiddlywinks. I mean great at something that has a market to it, to where you can go out there and actually expand and become great and get sought after, and you're knowing what you're doing. And so as a result, you can earn big money. So you got to know and do. So the first thing you do to raise your income is find something you like. If you don't like your job, you're never going to make any money because you're never going to put the time in that's necessary to make it happen. So then once you do that, you find something that you like, you get great at it, find a coach, all right, read, do all the things that will allow you to get ahead. Then you start working on the outgo. And the outgo is that we cut our expenses back to where we're in control. That's the four defensive positions of, you know, reducing debt, going out there reducing insurance cost, getting on a budget, having a proper emergency fund, which will allow you to do the things you need to do. Now, once you've done that, what happens is you start moving toward getting bulletproof. And bulletproof is you got sources of income coming in. Those sources of income can include a lot of things. You know, in my case, what I always did is I said, I'm going to work on building a recurring income. If I work, I want to be able to do something that has recurring income. And so from the very beginning, I always wanted to find something that I could create recurring income. So if I do it today, it will continue going out. Now, there's a lot of ways you can do that. I have people I listen to that, you know, they say real estate, buy real estate. Now, I'm cool with buying real estate, but understand real estate is a business. It's not an investment. It's a business because real estate requires you put time into it. So if you want to be in the real estate business, and that I'm not meaning selling it homes as a realtor, but as an owner, realize there's a business model that you're going to have to put some time into. And so you should get a rate of return that's pretty good if you're smart with it because of the fact that you turned around and it was a business. You have business overhead. You have time and energy and stuff like that. The other way you can do it is you can put it into investment accounts. Maybe put it in some type of mutual fund or things like that. And when you do that, that's going to allow you to develop recurring income. So what I did is I worked on two things. I worked on my business to make sure I had recurring income doing that. The second thing I did is I worked on my personal savings where I was always liquid, always could get to money and make sure things happen like that. So what we're going to do is when we come back, we're going to start working on the offense, the things you need to do in order to make sure that one day you'll be able to quit. Stay tuned with me. This is Roy Matlock Jr. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get. And I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit RoyMatlockJr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999. 615-843-2999. And stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, Roy Matlock Jr., and we are back. In today's show, we are talking about creating that income stream of do-nothing money. And if you're just tuning in right now, take notes. I'm going to give you some good, detailed information on the keys to develop your offensive plan when it comes to your money. You know, your defense keeps you from losing. Your offense allows you to get ahead. And so when we go to the offense, we talk about retirement plans, and that would include all these different things that, you know, involve retirement plans. I mean, we've got your IRAs, you got your 401ks, you got your 403bs, all the different types of things that you can do through either individually or through a company. If you're self-employed, you can do a SEP plan. So we're going to get into some of those details. And also, I'm going to give you some specifics on what I tell people when it comes to, you know, putting their retirement plan together, where they should be, all that kind of stuff. And so what we do when we first get started is we have to come up with our our financial independence number. I'm going to get into more detail in a little while about the financial independence number. But let me give you an example. The rule of thumb is if you want to quit, you need 20 times the number that you choose to quit on. So let me give you an example. Let's say you're making $50,000 a year and you're 45 years old. So what we're going to do is we're going to say, I need 50 grand, I multiply that times 20. So take $50,000, multiply it times 20. Now, why do we do that? Well, that way, if we pull 5% of our income off of that account, that would be 20 times. All right. So let's say that we pull 5% and maybe we get a little bit better than that, get 6 or 7 or 8%. We have a little bit of an inflation guard when we start retiring. And then that way we know that not only do we not run out of money, but we also keep up with inflation. And so we're going to start with that. So let's say it's 50 grand. So that's $1 million. So if you had $1 million right now and you wanted 50 grand a year, there you go. You could do that. It's called quitting money, do nothing money. So you do that. But here's the challenge, though. What's going to happen is you're 45 years old and you got 20 more years to go. Because of inflation, you're going to need about twice that. I mean, rule of thumb is about 2 times in 20 years, 3 times in 30 years, 4 times the amount of money in 40 years with inflation. So you look at it like that. And how do I calculate that inflation? Well, if you get 3% inflation, what that means is you're going to need to double your income every 24 years. So if you get 4%, it's going to need to double in about 18 years. It's called the rule of 72. So we don't need 50 grand. We actually need 100 grand when we retire. So we've got to accumulate that. So now we're coming up, we got our financial independence number, and we come up that 50 grand in today's dollars, 20 years from now, we need not $1 million, but $2 million because of inflation. Then we sit down and say, well, how have we done so far? Well, you have 100 grand invested. All right. And if you get 9%, that 100 grand is going to double a few times. And then what's going to happen is you're missing a monthly amount of money. That's your financial independence savings number. And in this case, you need to save $1,902 a month in order to reach that goal. So what we do is we work with people, and I do this, been doing this forever and ever, teaching people the basic rules of finance when it comes, it's a goal, a plan, a schedule. So what we're going to do is we're going to start looking at, once we come up with our goal, we're going to start looking at where we're going to put it. We have a 401k out there that you may be putting money into, or your own IRAs. And we're going to go through now a little bit of what I call understanding where you can put the money. So we move to the offense. We have a goal. We want to have this 100 grand a year in today's dollars, 20 years from now. And we say, well, where are my income sources going to come from? Well, we got retirement plans. That's one. That's your individual retirement account. You have yourself. That would include either a regular IRA or a Roth. It could come from your 401k or 403b, where you're putting money in and getting some matching funds. You might have annuities, and that's where you can put money in tax deferred. There's all types of annuities, from fixed annuities to variable annuities. I mean, there are indexed annuities. There's different ones like that. You may have some rental property. All right. So that rental property, you would add that in. You say, well, I've got this rental house. I'm going to figure out what it's going to end up paying me one day. Or maybe I'm going to have more than one rental house. I know my dad had a bunch of rental properties. And so when he retired, what he did was he took a business and he sold his business, cashed it out, and then took that and went and built houses. And he built like 30 houses. And when he did that, that was his retirement income. And he did that for a long time. And then what happened as time went on, I was involved in this business. He started converting those rental properties into the market and putting them into mutual funds. And the reason is because, again, if you listened in earlier, real estate is not just mailbox money. Real estate is a business. And as he got older, he and my mother did not want to deal with 30 or 40 renters. And so that's what ended up happening. Eventually, it became almost all mutual funds. So as you get older, you may start thinking a little different. And then you got Social Security. And then the question is, when do you take the Social Security? You know, do you take it early or do you wait? All those kind of things. But anyway, those are your income sources. You may have some just separate investment accounts at the end of the day. Maybe you have a small business that you sell, and that small business continues to pay you money. But what you have to do is you got to look at it and say, look, when I retire, it's all about income. When I'm accumulating money, it's all about net worth. So what I want to do is I want to take my mindset of net worth, and I want to turn around and I want to put that net worth and convert it into sustainable income streams. And so we make a list of all the things we have. The other thing that you might want to look at is say, and make a list of all the things that you have that cost you money that don't pay you anything. So, for instance, I see this all the time. I see people that have raw land, and they're like, they've got this land sitting there, and they're paying taxes on it. And that's great if it's really in a great area and it's going up in value. But the reality is you're paying taxes on it. You're not getting anything out of it. Maybe it's a farm, and you're not getting anything out of it. Well, maybe it's time to make some decisions on that. Maybe it's time to move that. Maybe you should convert that to something that would create income for you. And so what I do with people is I say, first things first, let's get our income sources in place. And if we don't have income sources in place, well, that's your first mistake. Your first mistake is you started too late. Now, the good news is that if you started too late, you can stop that by starting now. And so you start saving money now, and you pay yourself first, and you start making a decision that you're going to get there. One of the reasons that people, if they waited too long, here's what I hear all the time. Well, I guess I blew it. All right, I don't know what I'm going to do. I waited too long. Well, let me give you the little mindset. Everything is a long-term investment. You know, if you're married right now, the joint life expectancy, if you're age 65, is close to 90 years old. So that means if you're 45 right now, there's a chance that you and your spouse will be around for another 50 years. So you still have plenty of time to get started. So if you start thinking in terms of always everything's long term, I'm always going to do something long term, then you can get moving. The big mistakes I see right now are starting late. And then the second mistake that is unbelievable that people do this, they have their retirement plans in things they don't understand. They're in retirement plan. I see people that have their money sitting at 2 or 3% when the market's going straight up because they don't understand their choices. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the mistakes I see people make in their 401k that just blows my mind. I mean, so what you need to do is have a plan of action always, to where if someone asks you the question, what are you doing with your money? You have the answer. Stay with me. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about 10 or more of the mistakes I see with 401k choices. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit roymountlockjr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999, and stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, we're back, Roy Matlock Jr., and if you're just tuning in today's show, we're moving into the offense, and that's the fun part of accumulating money, getting ahead, and you know, I see the mistakes people make, and it just kills me to watch people work hard their whole life, and then they get involved in things that they don't really understand. They've got their entire life savings in their 401k, and they don't know how to do it. I'll never forget, I had this doctor tell me one day, he says, well, I manage my own investments. And I'm like, really? I said, so you're what are you? And he's like, I'm infectious disease doctor. I said, really? Okay, I got you. I understand completely. Because, you know, I manage my own health care, too. What I do is if I get sick, I Google and I, you know, I spend, you know, 10 or 15 minutes on there, diagnose myself. I mean, I totally understand. And he looked at me and he says, all right, I got you. I got you. And see, what happens is this. The reason that you're having issues with things like this, with your 401k options and feeling secure is because you're trying to do it by yourself. You know, if you want to get good at something, the best way to get good at anything you do is find somebody that's good at it and get them to teach you what to do. You know, the greatest athletes are always involving great coaches are involved with them. I mean, I watch, you know, I'm a big golfer, and all you got to do is go to any of the PGA tournaments, and you'll see these guys, these tour players, and what they have is they have some guy sitting there looking at them from behind, and they'll line them up, and they'll make sure their setup is right, all that kind of stuff. And that's what happens when it comes to your money. You need to get a coach. Now, I'm going to talk to you in a minute about all the different things that happen when you start picking your investment choices, but one of the things that I see more than anything is, you know, calling my broke buddy up and saying, hey, man, what are you doing with your 401k options? And the problem is that it's very difficult to learn from broke people when it comes to money. The reason they're broke is because they don't understand money. And if you ask advice from people that are more messed up than you or equal to or worse than you, you're going to get similar advice because they don't understand it. You know, it's kind of like when you grow up, it's interesting how when you hang out with people that are financially responsible, you become more financially responsible. If you hang out with people that blow all their money and do all that kind of stuff, you end up becoming that way too. And so it's very important that you either make sure you literally know what you're doing, because this is the huge part of it. Let me give you one example. If your asset allocation is decent, not great, on your 401k, and I'm going to give you a little number here to just think. You're 40 years old, and you're putting 4% of your money in. All right, so you're 40 years old, you're thinking, I'm going to put 4% of my money in, and I got some matching funds, my 401k, all that kind of stuff. And every year, to keep up with inflation, you add 3% more. So the first year, you put in 4% of $40,000, $1,600. Next year, you increase it by 3%, you put a little bit more in. And then you retire at age 65. And you start pulling out money, and you start pulling out 4% out of your deal. And this is assuming you're getting a 9% return on your money. If you mess up your allocation by 0.5%, now I want you to think about this. In other words, your rate of return is hurt by 0.5%. Now, keep in mind, that allocation choice is, it doesn't take you but a few minutes. It's not like having to work every day for it. It's just saying, I'm going to get it in the right asset allocation. I see people that have their money sitting in a money market account in their 401k because they don't understand. I see them, you know, young, and they're in bond funds because they don't understand. I see this stuff. They bring in their 401k options. I look down, I'm like, no, this is a bad idea. Even worse than that, I see people that they want to cash out their 401k to buy something or do something. It just blows my mind. But just strictly the asset allocation, a 0.5% return on your money over that 25-year period represents 5 years of income at retirement. You mess it up by 0.5%, it's 5 years it costs you of income. Let me give you another number. If you mess it up 1%, the thing about this, in other words, you've got it in the wrong place because you don't really understand, and you mess it up by 1%, it costs you 13 years of retirement income. 13 years because of a 1% asset allocation mistake. Can you imagine that? I see people all the time, and I'm like, where you got your 401k? Do you understand where it's at? And they're like, I don't know. Matter of fact, they've got them sitting in prior 401ks that they have no idea. They don't even understand where the money really is, meaning the name of the company. Because by the time they left the 401k changed. They don't have any idea. Yet, if they mess it up by 0.5% over that period of time, it cost them 5 years. If they mess it up by 1%, it cost them 13 years. If they mess it up worse than that, they're broke. Yet they're saving that money. They think, oh, I'm doing good. No, you're not doing good. What you're doing is you're starting. Okay? That's good. But you got to understand it. So here's some common mistakes that I see with 401ks. They base their investment choices on the recommendations of others. All right? Coworkers. That's what they do. Hey, where are you putting your 401k? I think I'm going to put it over here in this G fund. You know, that's the government bond fund that the, you know, U.S. government, if you work for the U.S. government, I'm going to put it in that. Okay. I think I may put a little bit over here or a little bit over there. And what? Did the person that you talk to, that you work with, are they a financial expert, advisor? Are they doing that kind of stuff? You know, one of the things I see now is people get, they get very safe because they listen to things like, oh, man, you know, stock market's going to, you know, crash and all this kind of stuff. Quick little idea. 2018, the prior 20 years. Now, get this, was the second worst 20-year period, and it's the worst 20-year period in the market since the Great Depression, yet the market tripled during that time. It was the worst 20 years. So people choose the safest investment without understanding all the risks that are involved. So what are risks? We got inflation risk. We got market risk. We got taxation when we bring it out. There's all kinds of things. Number three, assuming the most aggressive investment, thinking it will automatically produce the greatest return. No, doesn't work that way because here's what I know about investing. People don't like losing money. So if they lose money, in many cases, the most aggressive investment ended up making them cash out and go to the sidelines. And the time they do it is never at the top of the market. It's always at the bottom. Here's another one. They say, well, I'm just going to put it across everything. They put 10% in 10 funds. Okay? They do that. Makes no sense, but, you know, they think they're diversifying. And so what's happening is this. I see these mistakes happening. And if you're listening right now, you're saying to yourself, that's me. That's me. I've only named four of them. Let me give you the fifth one. Putting your assets in company stock. I see people put assets in company stock, yet a mutual fund does research and analysis on every company. In many cases, they talk to the CEOs. They talk to the customers. I can go on and on about all the research they do. They count mall traffic. They know everything before they put their money in. Yet they will only have maybe 3% of their investment portfolio in any one company. Yet you've allowed yourself, or maybe you did it, or you're holding one individual stock that you inherited or something like that, that represents 25% of your income. And it would scare you to death if you looked at the 52-week high and low of that individual thing. Your account's up and down. I mean, unbelievable. All right. So what I'm going to do when we come back, I've got five more mistakes on the 401k, and then I'm going to show you what you need to do in order to fix it. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit RoyMatlockJr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999, and stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, Roy Matlock Jr. and I'm back, and we're going to go into our final segment of the show. If you're just tuning in, we're really talking about putting your plan together, getting all your income sources together when it comes to retirement. We come up with the financial independence number and basically going on offense. And, you know, your financial independence number is the number that's the quitting money. If you're just tuning in right now, there's all income sources that we would try to, you know, start looking at. You say, well, you're getting near retirement, or you're planning on it. I mean, I've got, you know, it's crazy. I have people that I meet with that are so good at what they're doing. They started young, they started doing things, and they got it going good. Then I got others that are on the other side where they're making mistakes and things like that. And so what you want to do is take and take a look at where you're at. That's the first thing I would do. Do what I call a critical analysis of your position. And that would involve getting a balance sheet in place. The balance sheet is assets minus liabilities. You look at things that are costing you money every month to own that you need to eliminate. So you eliminate X outgoes, and then you work on the income side, work on all the resources that you can use to educate yourself and get more on track financially with not only your handling of your money, but also with the handling of your income, meaning you work on areas to raise your income, improve your career, increase your skill set, get involved in things that allow you to have big markets, things like that. Because, you know, the world's changing all the time. I would encourage you to read every morning something on your career and just about the job market itself or the business market that allows you to move forward. But today we've been talking about those retirement plans. And to start with, the 401k is the majority of where America 403b and 401k, it's about 70% of the population are eligible to do those things. And I see common mistakes, because what happened is back in the days, you were able to just go to work for a company, and when you went to work for that company, you got a pension. I remember Ford Motor, they had a glass plant here in Nashville, and they it was real simple. They said, well, if you work for X number of years, for every year you work, you get so many dollars per month in retirement. So if you work there and you got $30 per year for every year you work, you'd say, okay, I'm working for 20 years, and Ford's going to give me 20 times 30, they're going to give me $600 a month, or whatever that number was. And it was very simple. You never had to worry about it. And then one day, companies started looking at all these pension liabilities and things like that. And in many cases, you know, there's just a little bit of money going out to different things. They said, no, we're not going to do that anymore. What we're going to do is we're going to do something called a 401k. And what that 401k is going to do is it's going to put the investment choices as well as the ability to save or not save in the hands of the employee. Now, what we'll do is we'll do some matching funds. So if you put that money in, you get a match. So let me give you an example. I've got a 401k that I'm setting up right now for a business, and that business has got about 70 employees, and those employees, they're getting a great 401k. They're going to match the first 4%, okay, of their investment. So let me give you an example. So if you put in 4% of your income, then what's going to happen is they're going to match 4. Or another way you look at it, you say, well, I put in 4 and I get 8. That's pretty cool. But it's really not 4, because the 4 you get to deduct off your income taxes. So time you really, on a cash flow basis, you put in 3 and you got 8. Now, where else are you going to go instantly put a $3 investment in and get an $8 return? I don't know anywhere else other than your 401k. But let me tell you what number 6 mistake I see: not contributing to your 401k. How about that? People don't do it, and they get matching funds. And guess what? About 60% of the people say, I'll take the $3 it turns into $8. 40% of them say, nah, I don't think so. I think what I'm going to do is spend it rather than save it. I'm going to put it off till later. So number six mistake is not contributing to your 401k. Now, when is the exception to that? Well, if you got yourself in debt, it's not contributing. You can't contribute because you don't have any money. So what you have to do then is go back to our defensive positions, which is set a budget up, fire your expenses, rehire only the ones that matter. Then once you do that, create a gap, go earn some extra money, pay your debts off. And then the reward is you can put that $3 in and get $8. How about that? And so number six, not contributing to the plan. All right. Number seven, making investment selections without taking account of what else you own. What that means is you have a spouse retirement plan. You have a retirement plan. You got some money sitting over here. You got this, you got that. The whole idea is you want to have a whole plan. Now, here's one of the things that you can do. Once you hit 59 and a half, one of the things I recommend to people is something called an in-service distribution. And what that means is that once you hit 59 and a half, you can continue working for the company that you're with and continue to contribute and get the matching funds. But you can take that retirement plan and move it into your own IRA. Now, what's the reasoning behind that? Well, one of the benefits of moving it into one IRA, I'll give you an example. The average person will change jobs about five times, and it's very possible that they've got five different 401ks sitting in five different places, in addition to the fact that they've got some money on their own and their spouse has it. And before you know it, they got their money all over the place. That doesn't mean it's diversified. It just means it's separated. Let me give you the difference in diversification and separation. If you go have five accounts and you have all of your money invested in one stock, you would have five different accounts that had one stock, the same stock in it. So you're not diversified at all. You just have different accounts. Now, when you have those different accounts, you also pay increased cost because you have those all separated. So what can you do? You can have your IRA account that is set up for you, have one for your spouse. You can contribute to that IRA, but you can roll over all of your 401ks that are sitting out there separated that you have no idea exactly if they're allocated right. Truth of the matter is, how are you going to allocate them when they're everywhere? And so one of the things you can do is you need to take a look, and this is number seven mistake, at all of the accounts that you have, and you want to create a portfolio that is set up for you, an asset allocation is correct. So what we do is that. Number eight, let's do this one. Man, this is the best one. They try to time the market. Guys, if anybody could time the market, don't you think there's some wise guys on Wall Street that would do that? But they don't even do it. The number one investor that's ever been, Warren Buffett, says, I don't even look at what the market is. I don't care. I never pay attention to it. He says, I pay attention to buying good companies and holding them. How about that? He pays attention to that. So if you're trying to time the market, guess what? Good luck. Good luck. It never works. Never seen it work. The key is asset allocation, and then make sure that you stay fully invested across your risk tolerance. Number nine, taking the money out when you leave a job. Man alive. Guys, I see this. People will leave a job and they'll cash in their 401k. Cash it in. So what do you do when you cash it in? Well, the first thing is you got to pay income taxes on it. It's a big lump sum, possibly. And now you're going to move yourself up in the tax bracket. And if you're prior to age 59 and a half, you are going to pay a 10% penalty in addition to the tax. So now what's happening is you take your money out of your 401k. You always do a direct transfer to an individual retirement account. Now, why is that beneficial to you? Well, it's beneficial because you defer the taxes. The other side is it gives you the opportunity all right, to be able to pick what you want based on what you need. So you're not limited to that. And then number 10 mistake is not maximizing your employer's contributions. Guys, you know, I tell people they're not contributing to their 401k because they don't like it. The next thing they're not doing is they're not putting their money into the 401k. And so, therefore, they're missing out on the employer's matching contributions. Now, occasionally, and I look at this, and when I do analysis of people's 401ks, sometimes the 401k doesn't have great options. And if it doesn't have great options, then I tell people, go ahead and get your max that they match, and then maybe we'll look at doing an IRA if you're eligible for it, meaning to get the right tax benefits, and we'll do that with the remaining money. But the bottom line is this, you want to make sure that you're doing it right. So let me go back through this real quick if you're just tuning in. 10 common 401k mistakes. Number one is basing the investment choices on what other people that you work with. One size doesn't fit all. Number two, choosing the safest investments without understanding that all investments involve risk. What do we mean by risk? Well, if your money's sitting in the bank, it's FDIC insured, or in a money market account, it's safe from market losses. It's not safe from inflation losses. And so purchasing power. So what we do is we got to make sure that we got it across and we understand all investments involve risk. Number three, assuming the most aggressive investment will help you get the best return. Doesn't work that way. If you're too aggressive, the likelihood of you not staying in goes straight up. Number four, allocating assets based on the number of available funds. In other words, putting it across 10 funds, thinking, hey, that's 10% of my money across 10 funds. Putting most of your assets in company stock. Think about Enron. Think about that. Not contributing because you don't like the choices. Put money in a poor plan is better than no plan. Number seven, make investment selections without taking into account all the rest of your assets. You want to have a portfolio. Number eight is trying to time the market. It'll never work. Number nine is taking the money out when you leave a job. You should always roll it to a 401k, from a 401k to an IRA. And the last one is not taking and maximizing the match where you can put $4 in that costs you $3 and you get $8. Your 401k is where most of your money is. You got to make sure that you do it right. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Today's show has been about making sure you're on the right track with the offense. I've talked many times today about getting the right choices together for your 401k. So here's what I'm going to get you to do. I'm going to get you to do something for yourself, and that is go to RoyMatlockJr.com and download our guide. Listen to the podcast, and we will help you fix your finances. Now, let me tell you how we do that. If you have a 401k and you would like to have a free analysis of it, where we'll look at your situation, and we will make a decision to give you the right advice on which accounts you should be having. We'll do that. No charge. One of our financial coaches will do that. And that's your existing 401k. If you'd like to schedule a call to do something like that, just pick the phone up and call us, 615-843-2999. 615-843-2999. Get your free 401k analysis, 615-843-2999.